Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Ghost Encounters of the Third Kind podcast show. And tonight we have, well, it's not a full team, but we have Nick, C, Marie, and we have a guest again, Mark.
Hey. Good on you.
Hi, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hi. And Nick. Faye can't be with us tonight, you know.
No, I've took a place.
Schmoozing, she is.
What's that?
Schmoozing. Yeah.
Yeah, but she took sweets with her, hadn't she? But she's sitting there now, rapping.
That was a sweet rapper.
Missing it.
I'm sure there's food involved wherever she is.
Well, that's
for sure.
Yeah. I'm full as a fat lady's sock after I've had all that stuff. <tonight. laughs> Yeah. Yeah. So, what are we going to do?
On that note.
Right.
Right. Ghosts and spirits, yeah.
Oh.
There's one.
Ghosts
and
spirits.
Pondering.
Okay.
I believe in reincarnation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've sort of loosely covered it before, but do you think that spirits, as we communicate with the spirit, do you think that is of a dead person, the soul of a dead person, or do you think that's a memory of that person? We call it the Akashic Records, don't we?
Yeah.
Do you think what we're communicating with is the memory is stored somewhere of that person? Because I believe that once we're reincarnated, the soul, obviously, of that person goes into another body, so they're no longer Nick Clark, there's something else, you know. So my question is, do you think we can communicate with a spirit, or are we communicating with a memory or something that's been logged about that spirit?
I mean, you can't communicate with a memory, can you?
Yeah.
Is a memory like what we would call a residual, when it's like a played back action, but I don't think you can intelligently communicate with a memory, can you?
I would say yes.
Would you?
Yeah.
Explain, Nick.
Of course.
Before you just explain that, the reason I've asked this question is because I couldn't decide one way or the other. So I thought I'd ask this question tonight.
Yeah.
To see if anybody can sway one way or another.
Well, I'm not saying I believe this, but there's a couple of things I can believe in. Years ago, when I used to be a part of the spiritualist church, I used to believe that it was sort of spirit, like a spirit you was talking to. The Nick Clark of the person who's deceased. If it was you who was deceased, I used to believe that I was communicating with
me,
you.
Yeah.
Which
I think a lot of people do believe that.
But now, I don't actually know what I believe at the moment, but you could say, memory-wise, is when we are communicating with a spirit, sometimes we ask questions and we don't get a reply. So could that be because there is not a reply in the data bank or whatever you want to call it, is we haven't had the reply to that specific question? Because an investigation, we do go along and we ask questions that we don't get answers to.
Yeah, of course we do, yeah.
So do them answers to them questions, there isn't an answer because there's just not an answer. Does that make sense?
But memories, by definition of the word, is just things that you've already done and you can remember. But how can you think
before you go there? Now just think about the questions you ask when you call out to spirit.
Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah. What's your name? That will be stored. What did you do? That'll be stored. When did you die? That'll be stored.
Yeah, but how can you even get the initial yes? That's not a memory, is it? Is there anybody there? That's not a memory. That's a physical are you here with us now? So somebody or something has physically got to hear that to respond yes.
That could be the gatekeeper.
Not just...
Or people like, obviously, you've got like the religious people who've seen what we do is demonic and we're speaking to demons. Maybe we are speaking to demons, we don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe we're not...
Nobody does, do they, Nick? No. It's own, all of this, as we keep saying, is purely, you know, our own opinions and our own beliefs because who knows?
Yeah. I can understand what you're saying then about yes and no answers. But anything we ask him, it's all information about that person when they're alive, isn't it?
So what about when we're doing spirit box sessions, or when we're just doing EVP work, and we say things like, "Can you say one of our names? Can you tell us how many people are in the room?" That's not stored.
No, well,
that's not stored stuff, is it? That's not stored information.
Well.
That's a here and now type of question.
But still part of the Akashic Records. So it still is, like just like Wikipedia. It's live, you can go on there and someone can alter it. While you're looking at Wikipedia, someone can go on there and alter it live.
Yeah. On the ghost fly. Hacker.
Well, if you think about how we explain how memory works, memory isn't like a videotape. It's always reconstructed. So it's not sort of each memory is set in stone. You can actually like change memories or manipulate memories. So maybe they've got all these like, as Nick T was saying, about the Akashic Records or the astral plane, everything's stored on there. And the memory could be changing from a database in the Akashic Records. So, say, because it's like, I don't believe that spirits are dead people. I believe that ghosts are, but it's like, ghosts are more like how photography works. It's like a magnetic, it's like light going onto a magnetic plate. And I think that's the same as a ghost. So, because obviously the Earth's full of a magnetic field. And I think the right conditions, which is why you get hotspots where there's more ghosts.
Are you on about visual now?
Not just visual, but auditory as well. Right. But if you think how photograph works or how moving photographs work, a movie is just loads of photographs.
Yeah.
And I believe that in certain areas, the magnetic field maybe is just at the right thing to actually create something that the person from a previous existence, it's recorded it.
What you're saying. Well, I believe a residual haunting is a recording, but you can also have sound with a residual.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Can't you? Yeah.
And we've always said with a residual, it tends to be everything, I think, in my experience, everything has to be aligned. So maybe a particular date, a particular weather, a particular time. Do you know what I mean? Everything just has to be just right for that replay to come about and for somebody to, luckily, hopefully, witness. And I get that. That's a residual. But the intelligent stuff...
Yeah, that's more the spirit.
I don't know. It's like... I don't know if I'm talking to, like you say, I don't know if I'm talking to... you, or if there's a bit of a go-between there that can communicate with you and let you know that you are okay and you said this and you said that, but it's not actually you. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Is there a bit of a
could be your higher self.
Yes. Yes.
So you might actually not be speaking to, say, like Nick Clark. You might be speaking to your higher self, who's making them noises, who's making them things in the room. So, it's just my feeling too.
It's mental, isn't it? Because I've always believed that you communicate with spirit. I don't like using spirit because I know all the people that go to the church.
Yeah.
That's why I call it a spirit. Mm. But I also believe that once that spirit, that soul, has been reincarnated, that you wouldn't be able to communicate with that spirit anymore.
But haven't you found that you know, when you've been to the same place maybe over and over again and you've communicated with what you believe is the same, whatever you want to call it, over and over again, then all of a sudden that stops and you can't communicate. You know, I've been to places
then that spirit then has been reincarnated, so it won't be there.
Yeah. But you know, we've said before, has it burnt itself out? How many times have we been places and we've got, used to be so active in here, and we're getting nothing, it just feels flat, there's nothing going on anymore, there's nothing happening.
Well, what about you when you go into a place and you get nothing, then you go back a few months later and you get loads of stuff?
Mm. But again, if we're going to go down that rabbit hole, I also believe that when we go to places, it's not always the same. Let's use a famous one, for instance. So let's use East Drive just as an example.
Yeah.
I don't believe that on the odd occasion you get any activity at East Drive, it was the same thing that was causing activity back in the 70s. I don't believe it's the same. Whatever it was that caused all the chaos back then is still the same now. I think where a lot of people go and investigate certain buildings constantly, it's almost it's a collective of people going in, the intention of all those people going in, all the different energies that are passing through. I believe that in itself can manifest something that can cause activity.
Yeah, I think that you've hit a nail on the head. It depends on the people that are going in. It's like a... It's not only the right conditions, it's the actual people there bring a new dynamic to, you know, maybe it's being open-minded or something else, but it seems like when you're in a decent paranormal team, you actually get a lot more stuff going.
Because of the energy of the people that you're with.
Yeah, if you're with like-minded people that you can trust.
Yeah.
I think if enough people go in, you can pick a brand new building that's never had any reported activity. I've got absolutely nothing weird about it. And I think if enough people go in with the intention and try to communicate and do it time and time and time and time again, you will get activity of some sort in that building.
I think you can... I don't know if you'd get... Well, people have seen sightings in new buildings, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, East Drive was a council house, so that was only been built in the 30s, wasn't it? Yeah. Most council houses were built just before the war, weren't they? What was I going to say? But I think you can communicate with a spirit anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't have to be... We've had this conversation many a time, haven't we? You could go anywhere with your ghost box or your recorder and you can communicate.
My point being is it doesn't have to be an already reported...
No, it doesn't, no.
...haunted property for anybody to communicate with something.
You can go in the middle of a field, can't you?
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got the right energies about...
Got the right energies, you've got the right intention, and it's done methodically over and over and over again.
Yeah. But certain places, it's like the Aleister Crowley house up Loch Ness, that... was in a key location, it was facing the right way. Was it the front facing north or something?
The front door,
I think all these are key factors to sort of help the thing flow. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was for
flow.
His, everything was perfect for the ritual he was doing, the Pacific ritual he was performing.
Yeah.
But I think probably a famous one is the Derry Kakura one, where he went to, did he go to a theatre and the group of people made up a ghost, and they all discussed what the ghost was wearing.
Oh, and had a picture.
And had stuff up around, and then he come in and did a reading and picked up the ghost that they'd just made up. So was he actually genuinely picking that? Or was he cheating, which everyone said he was, or... did he pick up on?
Did they tell him this?
No, they just...
No, but he left portrait with date and name and stuff.
He left loads of things, clues like all around and pictures and...
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, I mean, was he picking up on their intention of that spirit?
I think, it's the intention. I know a lot of people said he was faking everything. And I probably think he was faking a lot of stuff with the television.
Didn't make him a fraud, though, Nick, did it?
No, I don't.
He was, actually good as well.
I'm not saying he's a fraud.
No.
But I think all of them who get dragged into these TV shows, I think they're pressured to.
Yeah, they're under so much pressure.
And then once you're in and you're doing it, you know, you just can't just pull out just like that.
No.
I did hear somewhere about with Derek Acorey that he was under pressure with the Most Haunted thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's on telly and they used to do a lot of live stuff, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
And they more or less, I think they were in his ear. Well, Luke, if you aren't picking anything up, you need to make something up.
Well, you can't do a whole TV show with a medium who says, I'm not getting anything, can you?
As you know, we all know that you can go all night, or you can go a week and not pick anything up.
A lot of people think this, don't they, about the paranormal. They think if they're going into a haunted building, they're going to hear something, see something. If we've got a medium present, then they're going to pick up on something. It's not how it works. Is it? There's no guarantee. I read a post on one of the paranormal forums I'm on not so long ago. Somebody on there was actually complaining about the fact that they'd paid to go on an event and nothing happened. And calling the team that did that event frauds.
Yeah.
Because they took my money and they did this and nothing happened.
Yeah.
People don't understand. you know what?
Yeah, it's mental entity. The problem is, the ghost hunts aren't the what you know. That's like with our stuff. We've advertised them as paranormal investigations.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing. We're doing a paranormal investigation, and we do tell everybody beforehand that we've done paranormal investigations before, and we've actually picked absolutely nothing up. Or we can pick loads up. It all depends on the night and.
People want to thrill it like a ghost train.
This is the thing, I think a lot of them pay the money to come and mess about on and make each other jump and make each other scared and want to be scared.
It's not the right kind of event to go to then, is it? They need to go to something that's staged and set up
so
that they're guaranteed a fright or two.
And there will be people that do that. And there's a place for that for some people, isn't there? Like you say, you always call it the ghost train, don't you? Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's what they want, that's what they should go on.
Yeah.
They've got them at Blackpool, haven't they? What's it called? The terror thing. Where they went out into that pub and they...
Yes.
That's what they want, isn't it?
Yeah. But for actually moaning about going on a paranormal investigation and not getting
paying money to get nothing. That was the issue. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they aren't sat in the cold on the concrete floor in the dark in a basement for hours. You know what I mean? Which we've all done that, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got nothing and... I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like Most Haunted, isn't it? When that first come on, that was brilliant. You only got a couple of pieces of evidence, but it was genuine. And then I think as the series went on and it got a lot more, viewers. I think they had to start faking stuff.
Absolutely. I think a lot of these programs, the American ones now, that were really good at the start, they're all getting that way now.
But then you get the viewers, and then you're under that pressure.
And all of a sudden, everybody's possessed.
Yeah.
All the time.
Everything's demonic.
Everything's
and
a demon.
Dark and,
Nobody goes in and finds the great grandmother.
No.
Sitting on a chair eating. Palmer violets or whatever, smiling all that. It's always a demon in the middle of the room, isn't it?
But most Haunted, that was based upon that fictional episode that was it on BBC?
I've got
the
Sarah
DVD.
Sarah Green.
Was it Michael Parkinson or the other guy?
I think it was Michael Parkinson, wasn't it?
I don't know. I know Sarah Green was actually in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my fair red dwarf was in it.
Craig Charles.
And Most Haunted was based off that because that come first, didn't it? And yeah. But that was a complete fiction. But it had so many viewers.
Well, if you watch that back, it's very close to the Enfield.
It's got like, I've actually got the DVD of, the BBC.
I watched it not that long ago.
And also, I think what people have to remember is things like Most Haunted and all these American ones that are out now. These programs run for an hour with no end of commercial breaks in them. That footage probably took them about three nights to put about a 30-40 minute program out there. That took about three nights. So when you're on an investigation for 5 hours, you know, we're very, very lucky if we catch anything at all on a 5 hour investigation. So I think also people have to remember that as well. We're not there for you know, 72 hours solid. Cutting and editing.
Most of the time, and I'll put my neck out here and say this, we will get some activity communicating. Either through the ghost box or something that way. Because like I said, you can more or less do that anywhere, can't you? Do you know what I mean? But if there's anything...
What was that?
It was
like, whoa.
No, I didn't know.
That was quite loud.
I don't know what you listening to.
I don't know. But the chances of you, I don't know what I was going to say now.
Has that thrown you?
I don't know what that was.
You were saying that more often than not, we do get some sort of communication through spirit box.
Sort of thing. Or through other things that we do with that way. But what everybody's obviously after is seeing stuff and feeling stuff to
I think a lot of people experience activity and they don't even realise that it's activity. You know, it can be something so minor than just feeling. A very common one is feeling like cobwebby type things on your head, and you know, or you might start feeling sick, or you might have a sudden headache come on, and or you get a quick whiff of perfume and then it disappears again, and all of these just real, you know, small things are quite significant to us. But when the guests go on these events, they may experience loads of this stuff and not even realise that what they're experiencing isn't theirs, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So,
and there's some people, as I mentioned, I think, last week, last time I was here, that with some people, a ghost can actually go up to them, slap them across the face, and it's still denied.
Yeah, of course, you know. Yeah, definitely. So going back to the original question that you asked.
So what was the question?
Nick, just let me throw this question out to you. Do you believe that everyone gets reincarnated?
Eventually.
Everyone. So you have no choice. You don't
unless
have
you've been ace. Unless you've been the ultimate, and then you just go to the higher level.
Okay.
You don't need to be recreated anymore. You don't need to prove yourself.
Okay.
But is that often one of them Sega games?
No, but I did see that, again, if I had loved it, TikTok, a bit of short video. No, but I saw on there where there was somebody saying that when you pass and you go into the light, that's the trap. I don't know who it was who said it, but basically saying, don't go to the light, because that is like a soul regeneration. So if you go into the light, you are going to get
reincarnated,
because they're saying this is basically like a prison planet. Maybe it's some extraterrestrial type soul harvesting thing. That's what they were saying, basically.
So where do you go if you don't go into the light?
Well, they were saying just don't go into the first light, just hang around and wait and ask the question
What he was actually saying was, you will see a light and you will see your loved ones waiting for you, which basically coax you into the light because you automatically go to your loved ones. And but what he was saying, that is like a loop then. So you go there, you go to the light, you get reincarnated, you go to the light, get reincarnated. If you actually turn around, so the light is to your back, he was saying that you see the whole of the universe, and that's basically you say you want to go home, and you end up going to your soul group, whatever, like different dimensions or whatever.
Okay, so the light has got your past family in it, you're saying? That's what he said. So there's a lie here, isn't there, then?
Yeah.
A massive lie. So whoever's up there when you die is lying to try and coach you one way or the other.
But my question is how does he know?
No idea.
No. You know, has he been there? Has he died? Has he turned around? Has he gone to the light once and then gone? How does he know?
He's watched that Netflix series.
But the only thing I would say is, I don't want to get controversial, but I've been to that light, and I know Nick has been to that light a few times, and I've been through that light to somewhere else. So that I do have an odd time.
Do you think that's the same light, though, Nick? Because it's not the same circumstances,
no,
is it?
No.
So how do we know that's the same light?
I only think it's the same light because I've watched loads of things with people who have actually been in them situations where they have had a car crash or they've been in
near-death experiences.
They have had a proper near-death experience, and what they explain is exactly what I've experienced myself. Exactly, I've hundreds of times now, but and it's not always the same as what they are describing. But I have experienced most of the things I watch. I have experienced what they've experienced. So that's the only thing I've got to go by. But then again, they could be just having the same experience. It might not be a proper, proper near death
like the experience of going through the light may be the same, because that's, if I understand it correctly, that's the sort of DMT being released into your brain as you're dying. And I think that's what gets you through passing away, is this bright light, whatever, for whatever reason. So that experience may be the same, but at the end of the day, you're still sitting there breathing and somebody else isn't. So after that light could be a different experience altogether.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Even the people who've had the accidents or whatever, and I experienced that, I don't think that's any more valid than what I've experienced.
No.
It's just different, because if they'd have died, I don't think there's any coming back once you've
died.
I know people do say, oh, they've done this and done that and they've come back, but I don't think they've properly died, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe not.
What a stupid question I've asked. This is why I asked it in the beginning, because I just sit there and just think about stupid stuff, like, you know. I don't know which one way or the other which I believe.
I've always believed in reincarnation, but I've never thought of it as you can communicate with your loved ones up until a point, and then all of a sudden they stop communicating. Why is that? Oh, well, it's because now they've reincarnated.
That's what I believe.
And I have actually had that experience where I used to be able to get communications off someone, and I got to the point where I was feeling a little bit sort of put out about the fact that, why can I not get communication off this person anymore? Why is a certain person not coming through? You know, when I get readings off, you know, trusted mediums, why there's no communication coming from this person anymore? But then I think it was after a conversation with you guys, I actually thought, oh, okay, so is that because that person's been reincarnated now.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
I totally believe
that.
Unless another option could be your soul has evolved to a different frequency, so you can't pick up on their frequency anymore.
Wow.
Mark!
Wow!
No, we aren't going to go that deep. Forget that, Mark. Yeah. we don't go that deep.
See, have you forgotten who you're talking to here?
See, I don't think your soul in your spirit. I think the soul is what we've got inside us now, I believe, is the spirit.
Okay.
The spirit of Nick.
Yeah.
So when I pass, that experience of being me goes back, but this is where I just kind of disagree with what you've kind of just said, because I believe wherever that goes gets put into the Akashic records, whatever. But I think it's the soul.
There's two things.
Yeah, I definitely do think there's two things.
No, I know what you're going to say, and I think so. I agree with
if
what
the soul,
say.
The soul then can go into have the Marie experience, not the Nick. The Nick part who's died doesn't go back into and have the Marie experience. The soul that is having the Nick experience is going to have the Marie experience as well. So it's got the two experiences.
Yeah.
So the Nick experience doesn't go into Marie. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
No, I'm sorry. I'm completely lost. Sorry,
well,
Nick.
Well, it's similar to
So you're saying there's a soul and a spirit.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Yeah.
So the soul moves on for a reincarnation, but the spirit stays.
Into the Akashic
Records. Into the Akashic Records.
You've got to believe in the Akashic Records to even...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course you have. Yeah.
To
it
start
all depends
with,
on
so,
what everybody believes.
Or the soul, because there's some things that I've come across where the soul can have more than one experience at the same time. So it splits up and splits up into spirits where we could all be the same. We could all come from the same soul.
Yeah, because
we're all having the same experience.
I think what Nick's saying is what
a bit
I
deep as well. When
I
you
believe.
Think about that, isn't it?
Because there's not that where soulmates come from. If you're two people from the same soul,
I thought soulmates come from previous. Sort of previous lives, you had a connection in a previous life, those souls did, and then you meet again in another life, not the same soul.
As different spirits, though.
Oh, God.
See,
so
for me,
one soul, it could split into all four of us, so that one soul has got four spirits. So when we all pass, we all go back into that one.
Do you know why I don't believe that? Because it's way too complicated. I can't get my head wrapped around that one.
No.
But for me, I believe that what Nick was saying, but I believe that the spirit is actually like a sponge for your identity.
Yeah.
So all your identity that you're not your physical self, but all your psyche identity, that's your spirit, and your soul is ours within your subconscious, and it's like a connection to the astral planes.
Well, it's electrical, isn't it?
Energy.
When you put down...
Your spirit goes into your soul when you die and gets transported into the astral plane. But I think the soul is actually... Although it's in everybody, so everybody's got a soul, I also believe it's just like one soul as well. So it's like the Akashic Records, where it's one big database.
Yeah.
So communication... You don't communicate with a soul.
A spirit.
Well, no, because the soul gets reincarnated. So the only thing left to communicate with would be the spirit.
Yeah.
Because the soul's not...
The soul can't communicate. It's like a tool. It's like a bus or an airplane. It takes you from the physical life to the astral plane.
Yeah.
And your spirit jumps on that to get to the astral plane. If
that
makes sense.
So basically, the spirit is a passenger, and the soul is the vehicle.
Yeah, and your spirit gets all the experience because we're human beings to actually be human, to get emotions, to get experiences. Mm. And so all these experiences and all your identities built up for, you know, you're you because of all your past experiences up to today.
Yeah.
And so all that is your spirit.
Yeah, here's one then I'm going to hit you with. You know, all these kids that can remember their past lives and stuff like that. Does that mean the spirit hasn't left the soul when it's reincarnated?
I
think it might be just when it's... Because they say at a certain age, they forget. Around seven, something like seven. Yeah. So you actually... I'll use the word of God, that you just... A new spirit has just come from its soul that has had numerous incarnations. And if you've just come from that, obviously you would be aware of other experiences that soul has had, because there might be hundreds, there might be thousands of different incarnations that soul has had.
My explanation, it was similar to Nick's, but it's to do with the conscious mind. Your conscious mind isn't formed until you're about 7 to 9 years old, so you're working off your subconscious. This is why you're learning so much more in the first sort of 7 years, because you're learning to walk, you're learning to understand communication, you're learning to sort of adapt to the world. So if you imagine trying to do that now, you know, at 40, 50 or whatever years old, you'd find it difficult to learn one language. Whereas if you do all this learning before you're like seven, you can learn about 10 different languages.
And also, a lot of kids can see things and communicate with things, and then can't
got
they
no
before,
conscious
they, before they get closed it. Down, you know? Yeah. And that tends to disappear by the time they're about seven or eight, doesn't it?
I understand that, though, but if the theory is, obviously, I'm talking here now as though you know what you... You know
You've
the answers. You know,
it.
Yeah, as though you know the answers. Obviously, none of us do. But I'm saying, well, if the spirit breaks free from the soul shouldn't remember anything the spirit's encountered.
Yeah, I don't think the soul has got the ability to remember.
So why is it remembering past lives?
So
I think it's the spirit that's doing that.
But it's broke free from the soul.
Oh, no, I disagree with that.
Nick was saying that there's a soul and a spirit. The spirit stays up there, the soul comes back to reincarnation. So if it's the spirit that has all of the previous life, and it's that the soul that comes down, how can they remember that previous life if the spirit contains that information?
Like a residue of that spirit still attached to the soul when he reincarnated it, or
well, that's what I believed when I just thought, well, the soul passes on to another body.
Yeah.
But if we can go with the theory of the spirit actually leaving it, I do believe this information, like in Akashic Records, I do believe that.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and it doesn't mean
don't understand how it works, obviously. But
obviously, we're thinking of it from a perspective as we've put the timeline to it. Obviously, in a fifth dimension, they say, and I don't know who they are, but what I'm saying is that they say...
It sounds like we're in New York, doesn't it? that's come from New York.
I've lost my thought now.
Fifth dimension, timeline.
Yeah, so we're talking about... We've created time, so what do you think is if... In like a fifth dimension, that there's no time, and that soul is having all of its incarnations all at the same time.
Okay. Yeah.
So we could actually connect with those other incarnations through source. So say like this is the soul here, and we're all spirits from that soul, and it's happening live. Why can't I just do a bit of meditation, connect to the soul, go across to you or Mark or Marie, and get that information and bring it back?
Right. Okay.
If it's happening at the same time.
Yeah. I'm with you. I understand. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, so like in the past where we've had a live person from the past saying that she was still alive, maybe that could have been one of us, and we're just, there's no time and it's happening now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Kind of.
See, all of these theories are based on
your own beliefs.
Your own beliefs, because obviously, you know, you're talking about timelines and different what's the word I'm looking for, Mark? Different
dimensions
and different, you know, and talking about the records and stuff. I mean, a lot of people would just believe that you pass away, you've got a spirit, you can communicate with that spirit. Yeah. Some people don't even believe in reincarnation, do they?
No, in which case,
you will always be, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they'll say, you know, my granddad's still watching over me from 20 years ago and I still know when he's around and, you know, and that kind of thing. And
I'd go as far to say, in this country anyway, well, Christians really, I'd go as far to say more people believe in... don't believe in reincarnation.
Do you think, Nick? I think so.
A lot of people that believe once you're dead, you're dead.
That's it. You go to God in heaven and that's it.
Well, some people don't even say that. They just say it's just no, non-existent.
Yes.
You know, atheists.
Yeah.
Just once you're dead, that's it, nothing.
Well, a lot of what Nick T's just said, it's backed up by science, because obviously with dimensions and time, time is the fourth dimension. So if you're on about the fifth dimension, it's above all time and space. So there's no constraints of time, because they also say that time is just a conscious concept. So if we didn't have a conscious mind, we'd be living like an abstract life.
Sorry, Mark, I was put off by somebody having a sweet.
Faye moved in.
No, Nick decided he needed to open a sweet in Faye's absence. Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
Just keep it going.
I forgot what I was saying. they say that time is a conscious concept. So if we don't have a conscious mind, there's no such thing as time. So we would be living a very abstract life. So one morning we'd be like, well, there wouldn't be mornings and evenings and any kind of time, but we could be like 80 years old sort of one day and 6 years old the following day, because it's very sort of abstract, not a linear thing.
Gets deep, don't it, with Mark around? Well,
the time comes on,
doesn't it?
I brought my shovel.
Gets all deep. Yeah.
If he keeps coming on, people are in danger of leaning somewhat.
That would be unusual for our podcast, wouldn't it?
So I'm pretty impressed with my question, are you?
I'm very impressed with your question.
And for the first time in a long time, we haven't gone off the...
gone off par.
Off par, we've sort of stuck with it all.
So as all of our... opinions on your question swayed your belief one way or another?
No, not in the slightest. I'm still in the same... I didn't expect anybody to sway anything. I just thought I'd like to know what everybody else thought.
So you believe that when someone passes away, you can communicate with their spirit, they're there to watch over, they come and visit, until the day they don't, and that's because they've been reincarnated?
Yes. Okay. But I also believe... that there's the Akashic records holding information of every spirit that's lived.
Yeah.
So can you just explain really quickly to anybody that's listening what that is? Because I'm certain that there'll be people listening that have no idea what that is.
We've called it before. We call it a Wikipedia of information of everybody that's lived.
And where is that?
I don't know.
On the astral plane.
As I'm talking to you, I'm pointing up here.
Yeah.
In the loft.
Do you reckon it's between the fifth dimension and is it the ninth dimension?
It's usually on the end of my ghost box.
So do you think this
is... go with that then?
So do you think this is what people call heaven?
No.
No. something completely different?
No, because I believe when you, if there is such a thing as Nirvana, heaven, whatever you want to call it, you won't be able to communicate with anything from there. That's there and that's it. There's only one person you'll communicate with from there, and that's the Creator.
So where do you think these spirits are that you can communicate with? Where do you think your loved ones are if you believe that can communicate with them?
They're in like an old...
Don't say that.
Sorry. They're in like a waiting room.
Yes, okay. Yep.
Waiting to be reincarnated.
But do you believe that the spirit gets reincarnated or soul?
Soul.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, so...
That's where the saying "old soul" comes from, isn't it? When they when they call somebody an old soul, like you've been here before.
You don't believe the soul gets reincarnated.
I believe a part of that soul is having the Nick Clark experience, Nick Taft experience, and it could be the same soul. Then you go back because I believe we're actually like batteries, and we. When we are incarnated, we are given a voltage, just like a battery. Okay. And the idea for me is that you increase your... When people say you've got to raise your vibration,
yeah.
You've got to raise your voltage, like doing sports and activities. It does actually raise the physical voltage of your body.
Mm-hmm. But even meditation and stuff raises it even higher.
And I believe that's what you've got to do, because that is. I think that's the whole point of...
Enlightenment
is raising your voltage to take back to the source.
Yeah.
So when you go back, you are taking extra voltage back with you.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's less. Some people will take less,
and then they'll end up a slug.
Maybe, but that's what I'm saying.
But how can I put that in my mind when I'm listening to you? I'm mentally seeing someone that's old and frail and on their last days on the earth. How can you think that they are taking extra voltage back up there when you can see
what you were seeing
is their body?
It's just the skin, just the vessel
that dies.
The vessel.
You know, it's not mind, is it? Your mind. I know people can. I know you could say, well, where does dementia and all that come into it? But I don't think.
I think dementia, thinking about it now, it could be that parts of that spirit have already got up there.
Probably.
There is a theory that people say with dementia sufferers that they describe it as in they've got one foot in the other realm and one foot here.
Yeah.
And when they're saying that they can see things, they actually can, but in the other.
Yeah.
You know, and when they say they can see the loved ones or the husbands or wives that they lost 20 years ago, they actually can.
Yeah.
You know, it's, some people do have that theory.
But then you can bring in, like, parallel dimensions, can't you? Where...
Oh, it's a rabbit hole. It's a proper rabbit hole, isn't it?
See, what I love about this now is, I ask this question to start with now, and I don't think any of the four of us here totally agree with what the other, good, which is what this is all about.
Yeah. I don't agree with myself most of the time. I just stuff.
We say it all the time, there's no right and wrong answer.
The beliefs are not set in
stone. To any of the stuff that we talk about, there's no right or wrong answer.
For our environment as well, as in what we do together, I think it's healthy that we don't all...
Yeah,
because
we're building our beliefs up and up by sort of stretching the beliefs.
Yeah,
that this could also be a possibility. Mm. Yeah. And this is why I don't agree with like some religions, because certain religions are sort of set in stone. I think the concept of all religions is fantastic, amazing, but it's like that dictatorship and that hierarchy that they have in a religion where you have to believe this, otherwise you're going to be in hell.
Some of the stuff me and Nick do with, you know, as we experiment with stuff, we pull everything from about three or four different religions, you know, and try and get it all to go together.
Yeah.
So it's...
But the only thing I've not had is really, I haven't had any Christian stuff.
Nothing at all.
I don't know where I was brought up in a Church of England school, so whether that's...
See, I was brought up at a Roman Catholic school until I was nine.
Sorry, no. Yeah, see, I was just
Borstal.
You know, yeah. Sad and Lynchy, people get the wrong idea. But it was like, I don't know, growing up, I loved all the, I still do, you know, I still watch a good Jesus film, I would.
Yeah.
Was it you who put me onto that programme, The Chosen One, about the kids?
No.
What were you was on about? It? What were you on about then? We'll talk about this on the next one.
What? What was on about when?
Golden Child.
Please. I haven't seen that in years. Has that got Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
What? So what was I on about? Sorry, Nick. What was I on about?
Choose something.
Shall we? I can't remember.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, I'll think about
have a think about it.
Are we done then for tonight? Is
that, that was an abrupt ending, wasn't it? That's it, yeah. So, I know I keep saying it. We will get round to it. We will do another one of answering all your emails and stuff soon.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll build them up.
What, both of them?
And alive.
How rude! How rude!
Don't invite him back.
Both of them. How rude.
I won't ask you, come on next week now. Are they might be on.
We want to try to do a live, don't we, and a video?
Yeah, you can try to do videos which will end our careers too.
And also, I think what we should start doing is maybe trying a different experience, maybe once a month. And then talking about our experiences. So, you know, things like the gong baths and Reiki, and we'll try all these different things, and then we'll probably talk about how it affected us, what we thought about it. I think that would probably help a lot of people out there that are thinking about it or not quite sure what it is. And, you know, I think if we can try and do that as well.
Yeah, I want to try that Reiki that guy at Stonehenge. I forgot his name now.
Paul,
that's it.
I saw him at the weekend.
That's what?
I saw him at the weekend.
Oh, did you?
That was chakra alignment though, wasn't it? That was a bit different than normal Reiki.
Well, what he did in Stonehenge, they went around saying it's Reiki, but he calls it something
else. Chakra alignment.
That's what Stonehenge.
It wasn't literally Reiki, but it was the same concept.
Yeah.
But it was...
Well, I've never had Reiki at all, so...
It was good. It was good from him. I've had it off a few people, and I've never had what I had off him.
Yeah.
The visuals and stuff like that. It was just weird.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for listening again.
Yes.
Contact us at all the stuff that we told you before. We're not going to go into it.
Oh, wait, what is it? Contact at
ghostencounters.org.
.org.
.org. Yes. That's it. Okay.
Cheery bye.
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 See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.